What actually happened is Bruce came to me and said, "Hey, if you say something nice about me, then I'll say something nice about you." Kind of both pat ourselves on the back right before we come in. No, I'm thankful for Brother Bruce and what he means to me, and we just love working together. We love that we get to serve Jesus. We love serving with you guys, and you guys have had us serve as deacons here for Brother Bruce for a long time. For me here, not as long, but and we just love it. It's funny. Hannah and I just moved recently, and moved to Concordia, so a little bit further away, but not very far. But we used to live just a mile from the junction here, and so I had this kind of bad habit of going to Pilot and getting their big, large styrofoam cup of Dr. Pepper. Man, that is my thing right there. Man, I love me some Dr. Pepper, and they're right there, and they're really not that expensive, so I would go in there all the time, so much so that the people in there know me very well. And so recently I went in again and they said, "Hey, we missed you. We haven't seen you in a while." I was like, "This is bad. It's okay. I gotta work on this." But no, I've worked to build a relationship with some of these people there. And I said, "Yeah, I moved away." And she said immediately, she said, "So are you moving churches too?" And I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "That's my family. I couldn't leave my family." And she was like, "Okay." But I think she, I'm hoping that she will come to our Freedom That Lasts, so you can pray about that if you'd like. But she expressed interest in it once it got up and going, and so I think she was kind of checking in on that, which would be really exciting for me. As I mentioned, we moved recently. Boxes everywhere. I mean, everywhere. You have no idea how much junk you have until you move. It's absolutely ridiculous. As we were moving this stuff in, I was like, "I'm going to get a 20-yard dumpster and fill it full because this is way too much stuff." It was frustrating. But we're moving it, and we moved with like a flatbed trailer with rails on the sides. Okay, so we borrowed Brother Larry Hicks' trailer. He was generous enough to let us use that. And but there's no top on that thing, so you have to make sure you strap everything down really well. So Bruce was there helping, and Brother Mark came to help, and they were riding together kind of behind this trailer, and it's riding along there, and all of a sudden, boop, this little box comes flying out and onto where there's no good way to get to our new house from here without going on I-70. So it's on I-70. So Bruce yanked off the highway, pulls off, and looks over to get out to try and retrieve said package on I-70. It's a little busy on that thing, and right there, several cars run over said box. Real small box, you know, about this big or so. So we're like, "Hey, if you lose a box, I mean, somebody breaks something when you move, okay? Like, that's just how it goes. And any move I've been a part of, something gets broken." And we're like, "Doesn't matter." We thought maybe it was my church socks, which would have been the most devastating, okay? Because I wear these. They were obviously not my church socks, okay? So we thought maybe it was that, or our silverware. We're like, "Hey, we got plasticware. We'll get some new silverware." But we found both of those. And I had been really diligent. Man, boy, did I really worked hard ahead of time, because I knew that Sherry's mom was not doing well, and I knew that Pastor may need some time off, and I also knew that we would be really busy. And so I had two different messages already planned and ready to go in case they were needed, and that's something that Bruce and I try to do, not so well maybe, but we do try to have a message ready in case Pastor gets sick or he needs to go out of town or something like that. We can be ready, because I have gotten a call at 7 o'clock on Sunday morning before, and that is never a good feeling, okay? So I had these two messages ready and was kind of really excited. I wasn't sure which one But we've been busy moving. So Friday morning, I got up. I just needed to review it and really been praying about it. And I kind of had an idea of what I thought God wanted for this morning. And so I started looking through boxes to try and find my computer. And so looking, and I thought, you know what? Friday, we were going to mainly use that day as our unpacking day. We had, you know, moved in on last Saturday, and then, you know, Hannah had worked really hard, but she's got two little ones around. That's difficult to unpack while they're helping. Portland loves to help, right? And we're glad that she wants to help, but it's not always a help. And so I couldn't find my computer. And I was like, well, as we unpack today on Friday, I'll find it. It'll be in one of these boxes. So we unpacked. No, couldn't find it. We looked in every box we could. So now it's Saturday morning. It's supposed to be predominantly a family day is what we're trying to get back to after working long hours at the house. And couldn't find it. Most of the day, Saturday goes by, and Saturday evening, and I'm like, okay, Lord, well then, I guess I'm going to have to prepare a message without my computer, which is my main resource. All my resources are on there, all of my messages, everything's on there. And so I sat down and texted Bruce, and I was like, hey, could use some prayer. This is going to be a little tricky. And I said, but I hadn't really confirmed that God wanted me to preach one of those two messages, so maybe this is God trying to let me know, hey, I don't want you to preach those. I want you to preach something different. So I thought, okay, what do you want me? You got any ideas? Because I'm all ears, you know, Lord. And he put on my heart the idea of faith and the importance of it and how vital it is for our Christian life. So where else do you go for faith except for Hebrews chapter 11? And that's where we'll be this morning. And so if you'd like to turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11, if you're wondering, no, it was not my computer in the box on the highway. I found that this morning after I spent half the night preparing the new message. Okay, so yeah, I just was sitting on the couch and I was like, an electronics box. I wonder if an electronic could be in that box. And Hannah swears she looked in that box because Hannah is our looker. She looks for things in the house because I can't. Apparently, it could be right in front of my face and I not see it. Well, she looked too and she didn't find it. So we just assumed that the Lord wanted me to preach a different message. And that's what I'm going to do this morning. So by faith, when you turn to Hebrews 11, that's kind of the theme, right? And we start in verse 1, and it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Then it goes on to give examples. It says, by faith, Abel, and by faith, Enoch, and by faith, Noah, and by faith, Abraham, and by faith, Sarah, and on it goes. Those are not the passages I will be preaching from. I was reading through that last night, really studying to see what God wanted, and I came all the way to the end of chapter 11 and stopped. It says, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And I thought, you know what? Maybe faith isn't the right passage. And Hannah was kind of getting ready for bed, and I was still studying into the night, or well, almost this morning, I read the next verse, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I want to preach to you today, and I want you to get one thing. We must live by faith. Pretty simple, right? Well, we'll see. Let's pray, and then we'll jump right in. Lord, we are so thankful for your word, how powerful it is, how rich it is. And Lord, trying to figure out something to preach is never a lack of material, but always just an abundance of rich truths that can radically change our lives, and it's what you want us to preach. And God, would you please just set me aside and use your word. Help me not to say anything that is not from your scriptures and your word and based in truth, and help me to provide just the right words. And help, Lord, I pray for our congregation to listen and to take heed to be Christians that live by faith. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In your name I pray. Amen. My dad used to use me as an example all the time. So you have to know a little bit about my family, okay? My dad, my mom, three older sisters, and then me, and that's it, okay? So just, I'm the only boy in the family other than my dad, and I really loved it. I got spoiled with having three older sisters. They doted on me most of the time. But, you know, later on, I missed not having quite the companion. There's 3.5 years between me and my next closest sibling. But my dad would give examples in his preaching. He's a pastor now. He was a youth pastor for most of my life. And he would give examples like this. One of my children did such and such. And then he would go on to say, he did this, and he did that, and he did this. And so I texted him this morning and said, I'm using you as an example, and I'll let them all know one of my parents did this, and he was the one to do that. I said, it comes full circle, doesn't it, buddy? No, I'm just messing. I never minded my dad using me as an example, as long as it wasn't too embarrassing, okay? And he was always careful to make sure that. But when my dad was a young man, he went fishing with my pawpaw. My pawpaw loved to fish. That was his thing. He taught me to fish. He taught my sisters to fish, and he loved fishing. If you wanted to get him something, it was, you know, a good bucket of live crickets and a fishing rod, and then go out and go fishing. And still to this day, I can't not think about my pawpaw when I go fishing. And now Portland loves to fish. She actually likes to take dog food and throw it to the catfish in the Hicks Pond. She calls it fishing. But it's a fun thing that I get to pass down from my pawpaw. He loved to fish, and my dad and him were out fishing one day. And my dad said, you know, I bet I could just swim on to land. It was about time to go. They lived in South Florida, extremely hot. And he said, I bet I could just jump in and swim to land. My pawpaw said, ooh, bet that's further than you think, son. And he said, no, I think I could swim to land. And he said, I think I'm going to. He's probably, I think my dad was about 16, somewhere in there. And he said, I think I'm going to jump in, cool off, and swim to shore. And my pawpaw said, I wouldn't do that if I were you. And he said, no, Papa, I got it. I'll jump in. And he said, with jeans and tennis shoes? And he said, yeah, no big deal, you know. And they didn't make jeans back then like they make them today, where they're like basically thin as like wind pants. They were jeans, okay? And they also, you know, the typical thick sneaker, you know? And so he jumped in and started swimming. I have a healthy fear of water, okay? I swim, I love to swim, but I have almost drowned somewhere in the neighborhood of 3 to 5 times. Okay. Two of them were extremely close. So kind of seeing spots and things, that kind of thing. So I have a very healthy fear of water, and I'm not a great swimmer. I think I put like all the tiny bit of weight that I have in my feet, and so I just, my feet sink. And so I have to, yeah, you can ask anybody that swims with me. But when you are on the water, it looks like just right there, you know? It seems like it's just right there, and it is a long ways away. So he started swimming, and those jeans got saturated with water, and those shoes got saturated with water, and were dragging him down. My pawpaw had taken the boat, and he had gone off. I don't know what they were thinking, honestly. I really don't. You know, like, no life vest or anything. You're like, you'll get it. And he started to sink, man. He was really struggling. And thankfully, he just kept pushing and kept moving forward, and he finally did make it, I'm pretty sure. So the story is from different perspectives and has different endings. One says a boat, Pawpaw's boat, came back around and picked one up, and I think the other one says that he made it to land, and there's some discrepancy there. So, but I'm pretty sure he made it to land, okay? I know he's alive, so that's the good part, okay? But that extra weight just really drug him down, you know, that extra baggage. That's why a lot of military exercises, they put them in the water in their full camo garb, because it soaks it down and weighs it down so that their training is in the full real deal, okay? So they get that extra little bit. That's not what you want when you're running a race. You don't want to be heavy. In fact, I ran, I guess, two Thanksgivings ago, I ran a 5K. You guys are going to laugh at this. I start training for a marathon tomorrow. You're like, oh, yeah, sure. Everybody starts a marathon training tomorrow, right? And when tomorrow comes, it'll be, no, but I really am. My goal is a marathon before 30. I will be 28 in May. And so that's my goal, and I start kind of some preliminary workouts to hit that goal, okay? So I've done a little bit of long-distance running when I was a teenager. I could run, and I never had to worry about how long it was. I just kept running, like what do you mean? But now I do. I don't know if it's like the dad thing or what. It just my body's not where it once was. But I recently, when I ran that 5K, I bought some new equipment to run. You say, to run? Yeah, to run. I bought some really lightweight shorts, okay, that I wanted the lightest possible, okay? I didn't want some really heavy cargo shorts even. I wanted really lightweight, okay? I'm not crazy on, like, shorts that come way up, so I like them to my knee or a little bit harder to find, but I wanted them lightweight. Then I like this athletic material shirt. I didn't want a heavy shirt. Wait a minute. And then the most important thing to me was my shoes. I wanted them to be really, I don't want to run in boots, okay? You want to run in like some nice, good running shoes. They make those, and just like all shoes, they're crazy expensive, but I got some that I could wear kind of for both every day and running. And so I got some good shoes that would help my form and things. And I wasn't running to win. I was just running to run. You're like, you're crazy. Yeah, I know. I am. But I really enjoyed it. You don't run with weight. That's the problem. When we come to verse 12 here, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. What kind of weight do you carry around spiritually? We're in a race. We're in a war, and we're running this race. And it's not like a 5K where you can run and be done. It's a run and keep running. It's a marathon of races. And it's not just like a marathon, because there's obstacles and there's pitfalls. And if you get off track, there's things, and you can get discouraged, and you can pick things up on your way. And you can carry things from the beginning of your your race. We don't want to be weighed down. I love the way the verse says this. It says, aside every weight, and then it says, in the sin which so easily ensnares us. It's almost as if Paul is saying here, well, I believe Paul, okay, in Hebrews. There's a little bit of debate there, but I think Paul's writing this book. I think he's saying that sometimes there's those sins that we just let trip us up over and over and over and over and over again. What is it for you? What's that thing that you, man, you just seem like you just can't get the victory over? You're just like, you know, is it really weighing me down that much? I'm just going to put 10 pounds on my back and I'll just run with a 10 pound. It'd be okay. No, it won't. It's weighing you down. And Paul says, like these witnesses, a lot of people believe, there's a little bit of debate on that passage too, but a lot of people believe that these witnesses are really examples, is kind of the idea there. He's giving us an example. All these people that by faith took these steps of faith to give glory to God in all different areas of their life, they set aside these weights that they had on them. And he says, like them, like that cloud of witnesses, we also should lay aside the weights. So what weight or sin seems to trip you up? What sin seems to just keep climbing back on your back? Lay it aside and run. And that brings us to our next point, run. It says, which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So first, run with endurance. Like I said, a marathon is one foot in front of the other. Endurance, I love the way I was taught at the Wilds. They taught that self-control and endurance are two things intertwined. Self-control is saying no or yes, no to the wrong things and yes to the right things that one time, okay? So when you pass the candy bar aisle and you're on a diet and you say, no, I'm not gonna take the candy bar, that's self-control. Endurance is every day. You pass the candy bar aisle or you pass the cookies in your house or whatever it is for you. Maybe you like chips. I'm a salty guy, like chips and things like that. So maybe you pass those kinds of things and you say, no, every day. It's that extended amount of time. It's the self-control that lasts, okay? So I kind of like that definition. They also said it's like self-control is pushing the bike pedal down. Endurance is actually biking, actually pedaling, okay? And I like that picture there. So he says, don't just run. Any of us could run. All of us in here could run today. And you're like, I don't know about that. I guarantee you, if certain things walk through that back door, we all could run, okay? Some of you are like, I don't have to win. I just got to be faster than the other guy, right? Okay, we all could run, maybe just a couple hop, skips, and a jump away before you're tuckered out, but we all could run. It's that running with endurance that seems to cause the issues. Because, you know, I could pick up probably 50, 60 pounds on, and put it in a rucksack on my back and go for a small, short jog, probably not even a mile, okay? I can't do it for a marathon. I'm not going to be able to hold that weight for a marathon. And I think that's the idea here. He's like, hey, stop just running these little short runs. Take off the weight. Take off the sin. Feel the freedom that Jesus Christ gives to us and run. Run with endurance, the kind that lasts. Man, I'm frustrated in my own life, and maybe you're the same, and I'm frustrated with Christians in general. That seems like our Christian life seems like these huge highs and these burning crashes. And what I kind of want is these steady growth, this steady one foot after the other, endurance, placing that next foot, one after another, that endurance. And then he says, run your race, okay? So run with endurance, and then he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We all have the same destination, Christ-likeness. That's where we're all striving to go, okay? But our race might look a little different. Some of you in here have gone through things I never will. Some of you got saved out of lives I never did. But I can tell you, we all started with needing a Savior and were deeply embondaged in sin. And as our paths are taking, there's a unique path that God has set for you. He says, run the race that is set before you. Sometimes I think we can get envious of other people's race. Boy, man, it seems like they got it going on. It's real easy over there. I, the greener grass syndrome. Grass isn't actually greener. It just looks greener because it's on the other side of the fence and I can't get it, right? I've seen goats get their heads stuck in fences trying to get grass when there's like these huge mounds in their own fence. Why? Because it looked greener to them. They thought it was yummier over there. And sometimes I think we can do that. We run in this race and we're like, we look over and we're like, man, I really, really wish I had a Brother Greg race, you know? He's got it so easy. Brother Greg's looking over here. He's like, man, I wish I had Brother Caleb race or whatever. You look at people and like, man, they have it easy. Pastor Herbert, oh, if I had a pastor race, easy peasy. He's like perfect all the time. I think he would disagree, right? And we know that too. Yeah, no, run your race. Focus on your race. Now, does that mean exclude everybody else? I ain't helping nobody. I'm focused on me. No, of course not. But be focused on your race. Don't be envious of other people's race that they are running. God has a specific path with a consistent prize. Run your race. This race is consistent in daily progress toward Christ-likeness. It has the same destination, but a specific path for you. So run your race. Run it with endurance and run it to win. Not to beat your fellow Christian, but run to gain the prize. The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:14 says that we should run to win, to gain the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Okay, so yeah, we laid aside weight. You're kind of like, I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that, but I'm going to lay aside the weight and the sin that apparently easily ensnares us. How am I supposed to do that? And then I'm supposed to run and run with endurance like I'm never going to stop in my life. And I'm supposed to run the race that I have in front of me, even if it's the hardest one ever, all right? You're looking at this and you say, maybe you're thinking, Caleb, this sounds a little impossible. It sounds like you're asking a little much. Yeah, I am. I'm asking more than any human could do. We can't run some race on our own. We can't lay aside these weights on our own. We can't put aside the sin that easily besets us on our own. But that's why I like verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's not only the author, he didn't just save you, but he's the finisher. The work he started in you, he's going to finish. Okay? If you turn over to Philippians chapter 1, and verse 6. Says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to work on you. You have to be looking on him. He's the prize. He's the focus. It's all about Jesus. That's where your faith comes in. That's why this is tied to your the hall of faith, as we like to call it in Scripture. Because it has to be by faith. You know there's a prize that's coming. I think we all would agree that it seems as though it won't be long and we'll be going to heaven. And we'll be called up, we'll be raptured. I hope that's true. But until then, we're called to run this race. We're called to run it with endurance. And I have to say, the only way you can do that is through Jesus Christ. We have an author to our faith. His name is Jesus. But not only is he our author, but he is also the finisher of our faith. He is seated at the right hand of God. He will complete the work he started in you. By faith, we can set our eyes on Christ and allow him to help us to run this race. Goes on in verse 2 to say, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We have access to the throne of God, the power that God gives us, and we can take advantage of that. We have freedom at our prayers and our time with God. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to lay aside this weight, and he wants to help us. So come to him. Look to Jesus. He's the answer. It's not you. It's not, I thought for so long, if I just mustered up a little more power in me, today I'm really going to do it. Oh, man, I spent 15 minutes in God's word yesterday, so today I'm going to spend an hour in God's word, and that's going to get me through. No, I needed to look to Jesus. I'm not getting me through. He is getting me through. He's the one that sin that just ensnares you every time, and you're like, man, it's worry for me. And man, every day I just wake up and I worry, and then I think I shouldn't have done that. I've got this anxiety and I can't seem to get rid of it, and it's weighing me down and keeping me from running my race. God has the power to free you from that. Man, it's anger. Something happens and it just boils up inside. Man, it's pride. It's this sinful pride that just wells up inside of me that makes me think I'm better. It's an overfocus on self. I think too low of myself. I think too much of myself. That's what you're doing when you think too lowly of yourself. You think, oh, woe is me. I can't do nothing. I'm terrible. That's thinking about you. Think about Jesus. What does he say you are? That's what we just sang about. He says, you're mine. And I thought, I know my worth based off of his love for me, what he shows me who I am. I don't know what your sin is. I don't know what your thing, maybe it's discouragement. Maybe you go strong for a little while and then you're just like, man, I just can't anymore. I can't say no anymore. I'm tired. Man, I've prayed that prayer more times than I can count. Lord, I'm tired. I'm tired of fighting. I don't want to fight anymore. God says, run. Cast aside the weight. And then in verse 3, he says, for consider him. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. So as we're running this race, as we're pressing toward the prize, as we're working out our own faith, look to Jesus. If you're discouraged, consider him. I love this verse because it's so motivating and inspirational, not just in an emotional way, but in a deep heart way, I guess it would be the best way to put it. But I can't look at Jesus and what he's done for me and think, I can't run anymore. I can't do it anymore. Sometimes I think about if something were to happen to my kids or my wife, how far would I go to get them back if they were kidnapped, or, you know, something like that. Like, there would be no end to where I would go. I would run until I drop dead. I mean, that really, that's the kind of passion you need for your race. I want you to be in this hall of faith. I want to be in this hall of faith. Maybe not written in the preserved Word of God, but I don't really care about being written in the Word of God as much as I want to be seen in the eyes of God as someone that has faith in Him, that has run the race well. So when I get to heaven, He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom." I want that. So often I get weighed down. If you're weighed down this morning, cast it aside. How? By looking unto Jesus. He's got the answers. He's the only source of freedom that lasts. We've been learning on Wednesday nights, and this Friday. He provides that freedom for you, and I hope that you will take advantage of that this morning. If by chance there's somebody here that doesn't know Him as your Savior, you're not even running the race. You're not on the track. In fact, you're on a escalator moving downward, and there's no way, no hope for you to get off that on your own. You need Jesus. Just like He's the finisher of our faith for all those who have trusted Christ, He's the author of faith as well. And He wants to save you. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that the initial faith is that saving faith, and then we get to grow from there. It's a start. It's not an ending point. Salvation isn't an ending point. It's a beginning. It's a birth. It's a life that you get to live with Him. So if you have any questions about that, I'd love to see you after, and I can show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven, and can start that race with us. Let's pray. Lord, I want to be a man of faith. I don't want to just put the cute words up on the wall, or go to the church that has it on their sign, or claim to be a man of faith, but I want to live by faith. I want to take the steps. I want my name to be said like these here. By faith, Caleb followed me, laid aside those weights, and ran the race. I want to glorify you, Lord. Lord, I pray for our people here, that we would not be content to be status quo. That we would not be content to half-heartedly kind of walk-ish on our road to the finish line. We would be passionate people of God that by faith lay aside our weight and run towards you. And Lord, when we're tempted to be discouraged, we're tempted to pick up those weights, where we look to you and allow you to free us from that and run our race. We thank you and praise you for all you're going to do. In your name I pray. Amen.
Coming here and sharing His heart this morning, and sharing the message that God put on His heart, His faithfulness. You know, it had been real easy for him last night to just throw up his arms and say, "Well, obviously, God doesn't want me to preach today," you know, but he didn't do that. Obviously, God may have wanted him to preach something different than he originally had planned, but as we had talked about, it was Satan, the one that wanted him to just quit. I texted him last night and said, "You must have had some powerful, important to say for Satan to go this much trouble to try and silence you."